similarly breed. Text 50. Chitim darumayim chitva tasyam patyuh kalevaram adipya chanumarane vilapanti mano dade chitim darumayim chitva chitim darumayim chitva tasyam patyu kalevaram tasyam patyu kalevaram adipya chanumarane adipya chanumarane vilapanti manodade vilapanti manodade chitim darumayim chitva tasyam patyu kalevaram adipya chanumarane vilapanti manodade chitim darumayim chitva tasyam patyu kalevaram adipya chanumarane vilapanti manodade igniting cha also anumarane to die along with him vilapanti lamenting mana her mind dade fixed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. She then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. Purport. It is a long-standing tradition of the Vedic system that a faithful wife dies along with her husband. This is called Sahamarana. In India, This system was prevalent even to the date of British occupation. At that time, however, a wife who did not wish to die with her husband was sometimes forced to do so by her relatives. Formerly, this was not the case. The wife used to enter the fire voluntarily. The British government stopped this practice, considering it inhuman. However, from the early history of India, we find that when Maharaj Pandu died, he was survived by two wives, Madri and Kunti. The question was whether both should die or one should die. After the death of Maharaj Pandu, his wives settled that one should remain and the other should go. Madri would perish with her husband in the fire, and Kunti would remain to take charge of the five Pandava children. Even as late as 1936, we saw a devoted wife voluntarily enter the fire of her husband. This indicates that a devotee's wife must be prepared to act in such a way. Similarly, a devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down upon this earth to re-establish the principles of religion, so his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to re-establish religious principles. It is the duty of the disciples to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations.
Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Om Jnanatamirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Padati Sva Padantikam Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Aschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Sundubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Seeking the blessings of all the senior devotees present here, I'd like to share something about this particular verse. This chapter of the fourth canto, Puranjan becomes a woman in the next life, is an allegory. It's a story invented by Devarshi Narad Muni in order to convince a king to understand what is real self-realization. It is so easy to get caught up in the details. And this king was caught up in the Karmakanda section. Karmakanda basically means you feel the particular act, the particular ritual is alone sufficient to raise your spiritual consciousness. It has its validity, it has its purpose, therefore it is mentioned in the Vedas. It is akin to small children going to a playgroup or a nursery, and they might play with flowers, they might paint something, they might eat from their tiffin box, whatever they carry, and they come back home. So from the parents' point of view, at least these 3 or 4 hours spent outside is good enough. They don't really learn something from our point of view. But according to their conviction, according to their intellectual capacity, it's quite appropriate. So we find that sometimes things which are recommended as good, appropriate, valid, authentic, Vedic, the Bhagavatam sometimes negates them. The Bhagavatam says, no, that's not. It's not actually calling them non-Vedic or ridiculing them, but it says, this book is meant to elevate you to a much higher level. And that is done through various characters like King Prachin Barishat. In fact, the king is so, it's a nice allegory about this queen and her husband who's now dead. But if you go to the next verses, in the next chapter, the king says, nice story, sir, but I couldn't understand anything. I mean, there's a queen and she laments and the husband dies, and what was the whole thing for? It happens that you hear a nice analogy and then you like the analogy so much, but you just ask them, what was it for? So Devarshi Narada has to explain the whole thing again. So this is the background of this particular story. It begins with, today we read in the purport, the purport for the verse number 49, just one sentence. Just as a devoted wife becomes afflicted at the passing away of her husband, when a spiritual master passes away, the disciple becomes similarly bereaved. And Prabhupada has taken this whole thing to a whole new different level. He has introduced the concept of the mission of the guru, how the disciple has to behave. So these are some very deep and important considerations. What is it like to have emotions? We are all sentient beings. Now this old Victorian English, Srila Prabhupada used this to glorify his guru. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was so happy, he used to show everyone, see how nicely this devotee has captured the essence of my mission. Sentient, it means having senses. You, me, we all have senses. Even animals have senses. Plants have senses. What do we do with these senses? We find that we exchange emotions. One English author said, man does not live by bread alone. What do we live with then? What is our basic subsistence? It's basically this emotional fulfillment. That's what we look for. Sometimes we work with our hands, and if our authorities are not happy, they say, Why don't you put your heart into your work? Or someone might be physically present doing something and you might get reprimanded. Where are you? Are you here? It's because our emotions have taken away our consciousness somewhere else. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjun is a seasoned, accomplished warrior. He doesn't fear seeing the whole plain of Kurukshetra with all these phalanxes, all these thousands and millions of soldiers. Mahabharata explains how Arjuna was successful in fighting Gandharvas, and they are quite capable warriors. He fought with Lord Shiva, who later gave him the Pashupadastra. So here, when he requests Krishna to please take him near to this opposite army, let me see who has come to fight. Now Krishna has to do something so that the very core of his emotions, they come up. And if Krishna would have brought him in front of Duryodhan, Dushyasan, there would be no Bhagavad Gita. Because already there is feeling of animosity towards them. Well, we should not speculate in that way, but there couldn't be any kind of response which Arjuna later gave. So Krishna directly brought him in front of Bhishma and Drona and says, Bhishma Drona Pramukhataha. You want to see who is assembled here? Here they are. Here is Bhishma, here is Drona. Pashyaitan Kuruniti. These are the Kurus. There are Kurus at the back, Kurus at the front, all family. But seeing his grandfather, whom he loved so dearly, seeing his guru, whom he revered so much, suddenly the whole churning began. Then Arjuna asks questions like, what do you mean? I should kill my grandfather? I should kill my teacher? No! And he gives one after another such convincing arguments. There could be discussion of the family. I'm actually undecided. These arguments go from the very basic, I cannot enjoy. The people with whom I should enjoy are right in front of me. So I should kill them in order to get my enjoyment stage. Normally one wants to celebrate things with his friends, family, community. That's a basic human need. In fact, it is said that all the arguments given by Arjuna are like watertight. They are Vedic. Arjuna doesn't say they are my arguments. Iti anu shushruma. I have heard. It takes someone like Krishna to dismantle them. And he does it. He just sort of brushes them aside. I will be afflicted with sinful reactions. Later Krishna says, if you don't do what I say, you'll get sinful reaction. The burden of upholding family traditions is on me, not on you. Utsi deyu rime loka. If I give up my duty, all the three worlds will be put in ruination. So the first chapter is called Arjun Vishad, the severe lamentation of Arjun. It's also called Yog. Every chapter of Gita has a Yog at the tail end. So Arjun Vishad Yog. So there is Vishad, there is lamentation. Where is the Yog? Because Krishna engineered it. So there is Yog. Later, in the second chapter, Arjun himself offers as a disciple, and thereby he sets the standard. Anyone who is perplexed and who is not, anyone who is perplexed by his life's events should present himself as a prospective candidate before a spiritual master. Shishyasteham shadhi mam tvam prapannam. Now, we may have been friends, we may have joked together, taken prasad together, we could have hunted together, we have done so many things. I have called you, hey Krishna, hey Vasudev, hey Yadav. And our acharyas give different meanings. When Arjuna would say, hey Yadav, he actually meant, I am Kuru. I am the Kaurava, ruling family. And you are the Yadavas. We support you. So there was a feeling of superiority. Krishna accepted that with happiness because it was Sakhyaras. But now Arjuna is saying, no more of that. I don't want you to be as a friend. Instruct me. And of course, the first installment of a guru's instruction is, he says, you are a fool. And probably that's why many people are wary of accepting a spiritual master, like giving your full charge of your life to him. So getting afflicted by varieties of emotions, we need those emotions. At the same time, due to these emotions being born in so-called material soil. Material soil means the three gunas. They don't really satisfy us. In the later chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, the body is a composite of the desires you had. Prabhupada writes there. What is the body? Body means desires. So if we look at ourselves in a full-length mirror, what we see is a precipitate, is a product of all the desires which I had. Wrong ones, bad ones, right ones, or whatever. Centered around the mind, I have all the senses. Shrotrum, chakshum, sparshanam, rasanam, ghranam evacha, manaschayam, adhishtanam. According to how the mind and all the senses become, the senses revolve around it, I have a particular temple. We say somebody is hot-tempered, somebody is very cool guy, somebody is, he's always tearfully sentimental. Right? We have this kind of labels. But actually, they are all from the triguna stock. And therefore there is no actual purpose. In various purports, Prabhupada calls them sometimes illusory or useless. Temporary, of course. The Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding of when we say everything is temporary or everything is illusory, it's not that it is unreal in that sense. When Arjuna is arguing with Krishna, you mean to say if I shoot arrows at my grandfather and I see him dying, or I shoot arrows at my teacher, I feel for them. I should be offering them flowers, not arrows. But Krishna seems to say, do it. It's your duty, just do it. So this one thing called material emotion, and you have a whole civilization centered around it. Over the years, we see material leaders. They know how to touch upon a particular raw nerve in the hearts of the common people. And immediately there is stirring. Oh yes, we should do it. In the last 200 years, various people, various backgrounds, they have used that. Karl Marx said, "Workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose except your chains." And all the workers came together. And for 70, 80 years, the world experimented with this so-called communism. And people are saying, oh, so bad, this should have never have happened. Those who were the leaders of this system, one person became the president of the whole country, he said, this should have been experimented with some small village first, whether it works there. To put a whole country under this, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So there is disappointment. There is an emotional urge to give oneself fully to someone, and then there is disappointment. I read somewhere in Ukraine, there was this professor who used to teach communism in the university. And he said, if the whole system would have cracked after I would have died, it would have been much better. But to see the whole thing collapse right in front of me was such a big disappointment. I gave my life to this. Now I can't adjust to anything else. All my life I was thinking, this is the best, this is the best. And what's wrong with this kind of system where you share, you give everything to others? What's wrong with that? Like a Soviet commissar, a preacher, was sent to Hungary. The Hungarians were not really eager to become proselytized in communism. So he told his people, it's very easy, I'll explain to you what it means. He said, hey, some farmer, Janosch, come here. If you have two horses, would you give one to your neighbor? He said, yeah. If you have two cars, would you give one to your neighbor? If you had two televisions, would you share one with your neighbor? He said, yes. So he was, the commissar was feeling, it's easy, these people understand the basics of communism. If you have two loaves of bread, would you give one to your neighbor? He said, absolutely not. So he said, hey, wait. You could share horses, you could share houses, television sets, cars, why can't you share a loaf of bread? He says, because I have to. I don't have the other thing, so there is no harm in saying, there is no problem in sharing that. So there is a sense of understanding we have to share, but it doesn't come up so easily. What keeps us from being selfless? Because we say, well, everybody is selfish, isn't it? So here comes the mission of the Lord. Krishna explains, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. A few days ago, somebody had asked a question in a class, does Krishna really love us? How do I know that Krishna loves me? And after a few days, we have a Monday morning, every alternate Monday, we have a Prabhupada class. And Prabhupada said, here Krishna is saying, I come in every millennium. Why does he come? What does he get here? Not everyone accepts him as the Supreme Lord. Not everyone accepts him as the authority whom we should please. And what kind of offerings will he get here? He himself makes it clear, a leaf, a flower, a fruit, a water will do. Because I already have the good things given to me by my eternal associates. I don't come here to gain anything. Like in our the history of our planet, we have so many regions becoming, you know, good prospects. Like 600-700 years ago, the Middle East was just desert. And suddenly petroleum was discovered and everybody rushes there. In California, in the gold rush, suddenly gold was discovered. And everybody rushed there to get gold. Of course, they say only the people who sold the equipment became rich. Yeah. Somebody who made jeans, he became rich. Otherwise, hardly anyone became rich just by getting gold. Most who got it, they lost it on speculation. So every time one particular part of this world suddenly becomes the hot property or a nice place to exploit, and after a few years, people are wondering, how come we did this, or why did we go here? So the living entity, in his thirst for enjoyment, for exploitation, is always looking here and there. But Krishna and his genuine representative, they have no such desires. So here we are seeing how some heavy words, Prabhupada talks in terms of one should prepare to lay down his life for his guru, for the spiritual master's mission. Or we see these words of bereavement, pain. Now we say chant Hare Krishna and be happy, chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. And then we read about the accounts of devotees experiencing extreme pain. How do we reconcile that? It is said that like a mountain peak and its face, if there is a lot of dust, and when there is a strong monsoon shower, heavy, heavy rain. I don't think in Mayapur you get that kind of rain, but in Bombay we are accustomed to that. So, this kind of rain, it splashes torrents of water on that mountain peak. And after that it becomes clean. It's like nice, it's good, beautiful to look at. So many times, the transcendental tears of separation, they are not necessarily because of a feeling of loss or a feeling of being destitute. No. In fact, Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. He tasted these feelings of separation and he preached. Now the only feelings of separation you and me might have is when we lose a material object or we lose a dear relative. But this is completely different. It was once very nicely explained. What is the difference between I want Krishna and I had Krishna? So there are many who are on the path of I would like to see Krishna. Especially in India, people go to Vrindavan and sometimes neophytes, they ask, did you get a glimpse of Krishna or do you see him? There are some rumors that in Seva Kunj, if you stay for the night, You can actually see the Rasa Leela. I think even during Prabhupada's times, they would ask, Prabhupada said, don't make it so cheap. That if you physically just stay around, then you can actually see the Rasa Leela. Many times, even if you see something, what can you make of it? Like in front of an illiterate person, if you put a chest x-ray of someone and say, tell me, what's wrong with this? He may hardly know how to hold it upside down or whatever. It requires trained eyes. A doctor, when he sees that, he might say, oh, there's nothing wrong with you, don't worry. So both of them see the same thing, but it requires educated vision. So here, rather than saying that I want to see Krishna, in one particular incident, Lord Chaitanya, when he came from Gaya, and he was completely God intoxicated, to put it properly, and he said, I had a glimpse of Krishna, and then he left. I'm so poor hearted, I'm so destitute, I don't know what to do with my life. Twice in the Gaur Leela, we have Sachi Mata looking at her son, who few months ago was like the most accomplished scholar, and now is behaving like a madman. And the villagers are gossiping. You put some Shiva oil on his head, giving some massage. Somebody saying, give him Narayana oil. All these oils are mentioned in Ayurveda. Somebody says, I think this is imbalance of Vayu. Vayu has gone in his brain and that's why he's behaving like this. And she looks at Shiva's Thakur and says, what do you make of it? So he said, blessed Vayu, I want that Vayu. If this is the problem, I would readily accept this. So she says, you don't think there's a problem here? He says, no. This is a very high, elevated state of God realization. And she said, oh, Shivas, if you would have said my son has gone mad, I would have been completely crestfallen. One day he said, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And Gadadhar Pandit next to him was saying, he's in your heart, don't worry. My heart? And he began to pry open his chest. And he says, don't worry, he will come, he will give you darshan. And it's such a soft, nice way Gadadhar consoled him. Sachi Mata said, please don't leave him, ever. So this can be understood, like somebody says, to gain $1 million or ₹1 million is the goal of my life. I want ₹1 million. In India they say, karodpati, 1 crore, 100 lakhs. To become a crorepati is the goal of my life. And because he doesn't get that crore, he is sort of sad, I don't get that much money. The other case is somebody said, yesterday a rich man came and gave me a diamond worth 1 crore. So you should be happy. Well, today morning I don't know where I left it, I can't find it. That is bigger lamentation. I had that. I had this kind of ambition for so long. I got that much money in the form of a diamond and now I have lost it. So Lord Chaitanya's feeling of separation are of the second category. I have to seek Krishna again. The six Goswamis echo that in the Shat Goswami Astakam, Srinivasa Acharya describes, He Radhe Vrajadevi Kecha Lalite, He Nanda Suno, Kutaha, where are you? In the lecture, Prabhupada said, it's not like they say, oh, yesterday in my dream, this particular personality came, or that particular personality came. No. They're always having that feelings of separation. Do we have any examples of disciples fulfilling this particular statement of the purport, agreeing to lay down their lives? Yes, we do. In the magnificent Leela of Sripad Ramanujacharya, he had a disciple called Kuresh. There was this Shaiva king. Imagine, we feel people have to be of different religions to fight each other. Now this is South India. This king is a disciple of Shiva. But he's so angry with the Vaishnavas that he says, everybody has to be a Shiva, otherwise you get out of my kingdom. But Ramanujacharya was preaching strong Vaishnavism, eternal loving service under the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. So when it came to that stage where he would actually put Ramanujacharya's life in danger, Kuresh came and told that, please, you leave this place. I will put on your robes. So Kuresh took the saffron dress of his guru. Ramanujacharya took on a white dress. He stealthily left the kingdom. And then Kuresh was captured by the king. And he ordered that his eyes be put out. So it was not just a case of offering like a proposal. He actually went through that torture. I think another case is when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was similarly in this kind of a perilous situation. And one of his sannyasi disciples, he offered that, Guru Maharaj, you give me your dress, but you move away. So there are these outstanding disciples who really fulfill the purport of what do you mean by a disciple? Because they keep they have this full understanding of this mission. Many, many places, as I was finding out for some material for today's class, Prabhupada speaks again and again, the mission of the Lord and the mission of the pure devotee is one. There is no difference between that. How is that? The Lord wants to reclaim all conditioned souls, and the pure devotee wants to repeat the Lord's message and send everyone back to Him. In the end, I will conclude with a small story of how in the Ramayana we have a very apt example of a poor, illiterate old lady called Shabari. She fulfilled the mission of her guru. When the guru passed away, all her godbrothers, godsisters, everybody left, she was only alone. And her guru had told her that, you have to stay here. You had a desire to worship Lord Ram, so you stay in the ashram. And every day without fail, she would get up in the morning, gather flowers, fruits, elaborate procedure for welcoming the Lord. Afternoon, evening, He has not come. Just carry away everything. Everything becomes nirmalya. Goes down the river. The next day, the same thing. The next day, the same thing. But she had that faith. That if my guru has ordered me, that one day my Lord will come, He will come. So she remained steadfast to the orders of her spiritual master. And later, when Lord Ram came, in that ecstasy, she offered Him berries which were, she had tasted them. So when that whole fruit basket came, she told the Lord that, the ones which I have tasted are really sweet. Now nobody makes an offering like that. You don't taste something. But the Lord tasted that with great relish because He knew it was offered with pure love. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, it's coming.
Thank you, Prabhu. In the one part of your class, you were talking about how do we stop by becoming self. What did you say? Selfless, selfish, or selfless?
Selfish.
Selfish. So I was just thinking, the whole answer to that situation is in Srila Prabhupada's little piece in the Science of Self-Realization, the Peace Formula. The great mistake of modern civilization is to encroach upon another's property as rather though his own. It's all about a sense of false proprietorship. So, is that the great mistake that we devotees make when not being able to, I wouldn't say see Krishna face to face, but becoming closer to Krishna, is that we're claiming everything for ourselves. We're thinking that we are the doers. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Any other comment?
In starting of your class, you talked about karmakand, action which done that by doing this action, everything will be fulfilled. That was the definition I heard. So we talked about also that when we are chanting Hare Krishna, just by chanting Hare Krishna, we get everything that we have put. So how we can understand this? So this is also like karmakand or what?
In one sense, whatever the living entity wants, Lord Krishna has already made elaborate arrangements. I think it is in the life of Sridhar Swami, the first commentator on the Bhagavatam, that a baby was born. Was it to Sridhar Swami?
Yes.
Yeah. And there was this question whether how the baby would be maintained. And in that incident, a lizard's egg or whatever, lizard's eggs, right? It fell from the ceiling and a baby lizard came out. And there was an insect nearby, so she just had to take out her tongue and eat that. So this gave this saint this confidence that, hey, look at this, you know, before even you say anything, your food and everything, all your arrangements are made. We read in the Ishopanishad, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavashishate. Everything is complete. But in the beginning stage of self-realization, the living entity doesn't feel that everything is complete. I need to do something. So therefore, the karmakanda section, it says, oh, you want auspiciousness? You do this. And you'll get the benefit of 1,000,000 Ashwamedh Yajnas or this or that. And when you see it happening, that actually I did some charity, I got some good results, I have started a new business venture and I want blessings. The first thing that gets firmly rooted in his mind is there is a higher authority and I need to bow down. I need to seek blessings. So you have people with that same mentality, they say, you bow down before this deity in this dham or whatever. And you say, what do I get? If I drink 3 drops of charanamrit, what do I get? If I take 1 tulsi, what do I get? So it's always, what's in it for me? That's the karmakanda mentality.
There is just a vague idea that God exists somewhere. But you just know, I'll give a graphic example. We are serving prasad. Someone who has no knowledge of what the kitchen is just thinks that prasadam is just made right here and this person is serving. But when somebody goes further and finds out, oh, there is a whole setup, there is somebody who is getting up at 2:30 in the morning and doing everything, so then you have respect for that. So in karmakan mentality, there is no respect. But when we say you chant Hare Krishna and everything, you'll get everything, you don't need to be actually assured of everything. You already know that I'm getting more than what I can handle. So when a devotee, he chants Hare Krishna and he, like you may tell somebody, you may tell a college student that you chant Hare Krishna and you'll get everything. You do that. So basically what you're saying is you want good grades, Krishna will give you good grades. Surely, Krishna will give everything what you need, not what you covet. So there is a big difference between the karmakanda philosophy of thinking yourself still the doer, the controller, and using Krishna's formula as a crutch, and a devotee when he is fully surrendered. Krishna lovingly serves his disciples as much as a rich man who is supporting 3 or 4 food distribution outlets and tens and thousands of beggars are being fed prasad. But when it comes to serving his own sons, he won't tell them that you go to these food distribution outlets and take your lunch over there. He would lovingly feed them at his own house. That's the difference. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.